hears about intimacy with God. Amen. For truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I have ministered for years about trusting under the shadow of His wings and talked about Jesus being so practical when He talked about, as a mother hen does her chicks, how many times would I have taken you under my wings? And the Bible speaks of His wings and His feathers in the Old Testament in particular. So intimacy with God is just so intrinsic to all of the gospel. If you want to read it just in the strict theological sense and miss the romance that is there, you're going to miss so much of what's really important in the Word of God. The Bible is a love story, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Can you say amen? It's all about God's great love. It's about making a covenant because of His love that is strong and lasting, where he literally commits himself in love to a whole nation of unlovable people so that he can demonstrate the strength of his love and the strength of his covenant to love. Loving by covenant is a lot different than our emotional brand of loving. When the Bible said love your enemies, you have to have a commitment to love because your enemies, as generally speaking, are not very lovable. And I would love a good amen for that. Amen. Your enemies are not lovable. Your emotions are not going to reach out to them. When I think of reaching out and touching someone, it's not in the way that the commercial advertises it. It's more like this. Can you say amen? But God said, do good to them. Don't feel anything, but obey and do good to them that despitefully use you. So I want to talk about this intimacy with God this morning, and particularly how it relates to our getting our needs met, and particularly to coming under the shadow of His wings, to receiving from Him. And I just want to read you some things that kids said about love. I love the honesty of children. I love the way they perceive the world so simplistically. So I just want to give you some things here today, just to open this up a little bit, maybe get your defenses down for what's coming. So here's what they say. When asked, Mike, 9 years old, was asked, what do most people do on a date? Here's what Mike says. He said, on the first date, they just tell each other lies, and that usually gets them interested enough to go out for a second date. That's the way Mike looks at dating. So Jim, 10 years old, was asked, when is it okay to kiss someone? He said, you should never kiss a girl unless you have enough bucks to buy her a big ring and her own VCR. Because she will want to have videos of the wedding. Now that's practical, isn't it? I mean, Jim is with it. Here's what Kaylee says, 9 years old. Never kiss in front of other people. It's a big embarrassing thing if anybody sees you. But if nobody sees you, I might be willing to try it with a handsome boy for just a few hours. Just a few hours. Intimacy. The way kids view intimacy. I love it. I really do. Lynette 9 says, the great debate, is it better to be single or married? This is how she answered it. Is it better? Don't y'all answer that. This is the way Lynette sees it. It's better for girls to be single, but not for boys. Boys need somebody to clean up after them. And all the ladies said, amen. And here's what Kenny 7 says about single or married. It gives me a headache to think about that stuff. I'm just a kid. I don't need that kind of trouble. Okay. Concerning why love happens between two particular people. This is what Jan 9 said. No one is sure why it happens, but I heard it has something to do with how you smell. That's why perfume and deodorant are so popular. That's what she says about that. And Harlan, 8 years old, says, I think you're supposed to get shot with an arrow or something. The rest of it isn't supposed to be so painful. Amen? And here's what they said about on what falling in love is like. This is what Roger, 9 years old, said. Like an avalanche where you have to run for your life. And Leo, 7, says, If falling in love is anything like learning how to spell, I don't want to do it. It just takes too long. Okay? on the role of good looks, how you look in love. Genie 8 says, if you want to be loved by somebody who isn't already in your family, it doesn't hurt to be beautiful. Amen? And Gary 7 says, it isn't always how you look. Look at me. I'm handsome like anything, and I haven't got anybody to marry me yet. Christine 9 says, beauty is skin deep, but how rich you are can last for a long time. Wisdom, 9-year-old Christine. Concerning why lovers often hold hands, Dave 8 says they want to make sure their rings don't fall off because they paid good money for them. You hold hands, you've got your rings all, you know, helping hold them up. Amen. And here's some other opinions. I like this because we're talking about intimacy. Anita 6 says, I'm in favor of love as long as it doesn't happen when The Simpsons is on television. Kid 6 watching The Simpsons, go figure. Bobby 8 says, love will find you, even if you're trying to hide from it. I've been trying to hide from it since I was 5, but girls keep finding me. That's Bobby 8. Regina 10 says, I'm not rushing into being in love. I'm finding fourth grade hard enough. Here's some personal qualities necessary to be a good lover. You might learn something from this. Ava 8 says, one of you should know how to write a check. Because even if you have tons of love, there's still going to be a lot of bills. Amen? Ava's right. I mean, she's ready for life, isn't she? Amen. Some surefire ways to tell to make a person fall. How do you make a person fall in love with you? Well, here's what Dell 6 says. Tell them that you own a whole bunch of candy stores. That'll get them. And Alonzo, 9 years old, says, don't do things like have smelly green sneakers. Well, I wish Sean was here to hear this. Somebody get him a tape. You might get attention, but attention ain't the same thing as love. Hello? Wisdom from Alonzo. Here's what Bart 9 says. One way to take a girl out to eat, make sure it's something she likes to eat. French fries usually works for me. Amen? How can you tell if two adults eating dinner at a restaurant are in love? Here's what John 9 says. Just see if the man picks up the check. That's how you can tell if he's in love. Brad 8 says, lovers will just be staring at each other and their food will get cold. Other people care more about the food. Christine 9 says, it's love if they order those desserts that are on fire. They like to order those because it's just like how their hearts are on fire. Wow. What most people are thinking when they say, I love you. Michelle 9 says, the person is thinking, yeah, I really do love him. But I hope he showers at least once a day. How you learn to kiss. Doug 7 says, you learn it right on the spot when the gushy feelings get the best of you. Everybody say the gushy feelings. Okay. When is it? Oh, by the way, Karen 9 says it might help to watch some soap operas all day. Learn to kiss, watch soap operas all day. Okay, when is it okay to kiss someone? I'm almost done. Gene 10 says, it's never okay to kiss a boy. They always slobber all over you. That's why I stopped doing it. How to make love endure. Everybody interested in how to make love endure from kids' point of view? Spend most of your time loving instead of going to work, said Tom 7. Spend most of your time loving instead of going to work. Randy 8 says, be a good kisser. It might make your wife forget that you never take out the trash. I'm not that good a kisser, I'll tell you right now. I've got to watch some soap operas or something, amen, to get into that. I'm going to read this to you again. The Bible portrays the relationship between God and His people with a staggering array of images. God is the potter, and we are the clay. Christ is the shepherd. We're going to Isaiah 62. God is the potter. We are the clay. Christ is the shepherd. We are the sheep. Christ is the master and we are His servants. Most Christians, he says, never get beyond this point. But from here the Bible leads us on a swift and sublime ascent. We are the children of God. And God is our Heavenly Father. Or as Jesus says, you are my friends in John 15. friends of God. It can't get much better than that. But it does get better than being friends of God, servants of God, and even sons of God. In the Old Testament, we see the relationship with God to a nation as a relationship of loving intimacy that is astonishing. We are literally looked upon as God's wife, God's bride, and Christ's bride. Isaiah declares, as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your God marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Can you say amen? The reason there's a covenant is because there's such a love. The reason God is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God is because he sets his love upon his people. Can you say amen? It's love in God's heart that caused him to want to make these deep, everlasting covenants with a nation of people. And to demonstrate the strength of his love and his covenant, he chose a people that were unloving. He said, I didn't choose you because you were such wonderful people, greater than other people. You were the least, amen, of all the peoples of the earth. Just a little band of people. And he said, not only that, but you are a stiff-necked, stubborn people. Everybody say stiff-necked and stubborn. How many know it's hard to love stubborn people? Too stubborn to obey, too stubborn to repent, too stubborn. It took a lot of problems and pressures to get them back to him on many occasions. But remember, all the problems that came upon them were to bring them back to him. He never forsook them or cast them off because of a covenant of love. Covenant love is strong love. Turn with me to Isaiah 62, verse 1 through 5, just for a few moments. Listen to this carefully. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. And here's that scripture: for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so thy son shall marry thee, and as a bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Now, Hephzibah means my delight is in her. Everybody say, his delight is in us. His delight is in us. Make no mistake about it. His delight is in us. Can you say amen? God loves us, and he lavishes his love upon us. And that's why Paul uses the premise and the literally the logic of it all. He said, if God loved us in Romans chapter 8 enough to give us his only begotten son to demonstrate that love, how will he not also freely give us all things? In other words, if you want faith to come alive in you to believe God, amen, for every need of your life, it all begins with the fact that God loved you enough to give you the greatest gift that could ever be given, and he gave him freely, and Jesus gave his life freely upon that cross. I love it when he talks so authoritatively while he's laying down his life to let all of us know and let the world know that no man is taking his life from him. He's laying it down willingly because of his love for us. Make no mistake about it. Nails did not hold him to that cross. They could not hold him to that cross. And make no mistake about it. Caesar's Rome didn't have the power to put him on it. He said, I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it up again. Don't look at me as a victim of Caesar's Rome or a victim of the Sanhedrin. The great Jewish court didn't have the authority to do it. Caesar didn't have the authority to do it. Don't play the blame game. Listen, our sin is the reason that he hung on that cross. My sin and yours kept him on that cross. But it was love for us that caused him to do that so our sins could be forgiven. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It wasn't the Jewish people. We. He bore our griefs. He was wounded for our transgressions. God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And as a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. Because if he had opened his mouth, he said, amen, when Peter tried to defend him, amen, put up your sword. I could call, amen, legions of angels to deliver me if my kingdom were of this world. But my kingdom's not of this world. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad that he came to bring a different attitude? And it wasn't vengeance and vindictiveness. His attitude toward the lost and the foul-ups and the blasphemers and the proud and the sinful, amen, is I love you and I want to forgive you and I want to save you enough that I'm going to let them put me on the cross. To wit, God was in Jesus Christ reconciling the world unto himself while on the cross. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for is a great sentiment. But you've got to understand that Jesus was more than a great earthly king. Amen. He's more than even the king of the universe. Jesus was God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. And that God would come down. God would take on flesh. And God would go to the cross and find a way to die, who couldn't in any other way sacrifice himself except robing himself in flesh. Second person of the Godhead that preexisted with God, without whom there was nothing made that was made. Genesis 1, Christ is there. For God says in Genesis 1, let us make man in our image. There's a father there. There's a son there. And the Bible said the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was there. And the Spirit of God brooded upon the deep. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That word brood is the word like a mother hen sitting on eggs trying to bring it forth and bring that life forth. And that's why the Holy Spirit is such a life-giving force. Resurrection power resides in him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. God loves you. It should quicken your heart. I've been preaching for years of people getting back to the first love. How to get back to the first love. Amen. For years I've been preaching, you know, remember from whence thou art fallen and do your first works. And you know what I'm coming to realize after all of these years of teaching Christians, challenging Christians to return to the first love. I'm coming to an awareness that a lot of Christians never developed the first love to begin with. How do you know that? Because if a man love me, he wants to obey him. He becomes putty in his hand, soft and pliable in the hands of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? If a man love me, what does he do? He'll keep my commandments, and they're not grievous unto him. Amen. He doesn't do it with a long face, like you've taken all my sinful privileges away. Now I'm stuck in this straight-laced religious box. Well, honey, take a good look at this preacher. Amen. There's no lack of joy in my life, fulfillment in my life, happiness in my life. I love to laugh. I love to love. I love to want for people to want to be around me. Amen. Because I hope that I bring them up. My sons want to talk with me. They want to hang out with me, the old guy. Can you imagine these young guys want to hang out with this old guy? Amen. My wife still likes to hang out with me. Amen. I'm around the house more now, but she still loves me to be around. Praise God. Amen. I'm getting to make up for years that I wasn't there and kind of give her some payback now. Amen. Praise God. I bring her coffee. I cook her a cinnamon roll and bring her cinnamon roll and coffee. And she, you know, she's gotten out of where she's retraining herself. Amen. Not to do dishes all the time. Amen. So I can get a chance to do some now. Praise God. Oh, joy, joy, joy. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good. We had 2 days last week, no bathroom for 2 days. I'm just grateful, amen, to have a commode back. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you, there's some things you miss when they're gone. Amen. Think about it. My son had got one out in the garage apartment, but, you know, he's locked up all the time. And, you know, when you got to go, you got to go. And well, anyway, we made it through 2 days. Amen. Praise God. But we finally got our plumbing going. Dale has plumbing. When my plumbing, I just did without a commode a couple of days and couldn't get it to seat. Found out it was the commode itself. Take it back and get another one. Had plumbers out. Had the whole 9 yards. Putting them on, taking them off, putting them on, taking them off. Things all over the floor. And you know what I thought of? I thought, as bad as it was at first, and I was feeling like this is terrible, I'm going on the second day, and I got to clean this up, and I got to try again. And we did this with the plumber scratching. I thought of Dale and Terry. I thought, this ain't so bad. We can get through this. I won't tell you, but let's just say it was deep. Can you say that it was deep, deep, deep? Amen. And in the bad sense. But God was good and took us through it. Praise God. Amen. A lot of Christians never discovered the first love. They never discovered it. They never had an encounter with God on a level of intimacy that they saw and understood and embraced what really happened on that cross. They didn't weep when they came down. Their heart was not broken before Him. They were not melted like God wanted them to be. They were not soft and pliable. They had a problem trying to walk it out and live it out because they didn't love the person who saved them. They didn't love Him back. I remember traveling through the Great Smoky Mountains up on the Blue Ridge Parkway, up on the crest of them, and listening to a tape back then when we made that trip. How can you not love Him back was the name of the song. How can you not love Him back? How can you not love Him back? We're in the day of a consumer-driven society, and people go to church to get. And the church just lives and breathes to give. We don't go to necessarily serve Jesus and serve others. I remember when the paradigm changed about 10 or 15 years ago, there was a preacher saying, you know, used to people came. We didn't have as many people, but we had more help. We had more offerings, more freely. The bigger percentage of people gave in offerings because people were not coming to get. They were coming to give. We had help with missionary work, help with feeding people, help with doing the work because people came to give. But he said, and today it's all changed. People are going where they can get. They're looking for what can I get? And the church has to be very innovative in serving everyone. We expect to be served when we get to church instead of going and volunteering to serve. We want a staff that's there ready to serve us and meet our every felt need. And that's why we have the seeker-friendly movement to find out what the people want and give it to them and they'll come. But when you come to Jesus and you fall in love with Him, He can talk to you this way and still have your heart. If any man will be my disciple, my follower, true follower, let him deny himself. Instead of being self-serving, you become self-sacrificing. Everybody say, instead of self-serving, we're called to become self-sacrificing. Jesus actually said it's better to give, to be self-sacrificing, than to receive and be self-serving. Can you say amen? And I heard a preacher that was so out of it, has tens of thousands of people following. But listen, blind man with 10,000 people following, don't give him sight. The blind follow the blind. What happens? They all end up in the ditch. And here's what he said over national television to all those people with Bibles that know very little about Jesus or fall in love with Him. He said, I asked the Lord, what did He mean by it's better to give than receive? And the Lord told me, now this is what He told on national TV that the Lord told him. And he still got followers. Go figure. Because self-serving people love to hear that. They that do mind the flesh, they that are of the flesh, mind the what? Things of the flesh. But they that are of the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. What a difference there is when you walk in the Spirit. The Bible said if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't be self-serving. Don't mean God won't bless you, but what you're really after is beyond anything in the material world that God can bless you with. The peace that I'm after, nothing in the material world can bring. The joy that I'm seeking, the joy of His presence. Everybody say the joy of His presence.
Joy of His presence.
See, that seeking God, entering into His presence is what? What you're looking for in life. What everybody's looking for in life. In His presence there's fullness of joy. When my wife married me, she didn't marry me for my money. I had none. The only food we had on our honeymoon was I had enough money for two cheeseburgers with fries. That's all the money I had in my pocket. That's all I had. Two cheeseburgers with fries for our wedding night meal. Borrowed my dad's 54 Pontiac, drove it from Sefner, Florida, between Sefner and Mango, Florida, a little trailer that we borrowed for our honeymoon, amen, from my uncle, who didn't have a bathroom inside. Pamela went looking in every little closet and crevice for a bathroom, and the bathroom was outside, and I had to break it to her. The bathroom's out there, you know. They've got
That's why I'm being so good to me.
That's why I'm being so good. She stayed. She stayed with me. She loved me. She loved me. We loved one another. That didn't matter that much because love made up for the difference. Amen. It really made up the difference. So I'll go to Brandon. I'm at a burger stand, the Sip and Smack or whatever it was, and I'm sitting there. I order the burgers, crank up the Pontiac. My dad had said, you know, you can have this car as a wedding present. His old car was going to be given to me so I could go to work and make a living for my family that I'm starting. And the first thing I did when I cranked it up, on our wedding night, she's at home waiting for me to come back with cheeseburgers and French fries. We're going to partay. Can you say, man, cheeseburgers and French fries from the Sip and Smack or wherever it was. I turned the key to crank it up to go home. My hamburger's in the bag. No more money in my pocket, but I got a meal for the night. Pamela's waiting for me. Oh, I cranked it up. Amen. And as soon as I put it in reverse, it threw a rod. It wouldn't budge from right there. The engine, we never drove the car again. It was beyond fixing. It cost too much to fix it than I had. And it was gone. And I'm sitting over there, and the lady comes out and says, "Your car made a strange noise." Said, what has happened? I said, I don't know. It won't run. And she said, "Oh, that's too bad. Your hamburgers are going to get cold." I said, "You don't know the half of it. This is my wedding night. I thought Pamela's going to get cold too." You know, she's sitting there waiting. Just said, "Come on, I gotta get home. Amen. Let me go. And I can't go, and I gotta call my dad. There's no phone there to talk with her. He's gotta come and take a rope or a chain and pull that car somewhere and take me home. Not only did I get there, I don't have any food. And I think the next day, well, I don't even think we ate. I don't know what we did. I took the food. It was cold. We ate it. But the next day, we had stuff from my ag garden. We had green beans and tomatoes and green onions and potatoes. That was our meal. Oh, we were vegetarians the next day. Amen. Until I could get to working and try to get things together. But one thing I discovered, we were deeply in love with one another. And none of that seemed to matter as long as we could be together. You fall deeply in love with God. It goes beyond what He can do for you materially. Amen. Can you say amen? In His presence, there's what? What there was in that little humble trailer between my wife and I. There was fullness of joy. There was fullness of joy. There's a lot of couples don't have what we had that have so much more material. There are people get married and go to Vegas. They go to Hawaii. They go to some exotic place and spend a honeymoon. Amen. But they don't have the love we got. Amen. That kept us together. And when we came to Jesus, it just amplified that love. Because then I could love her not only with the emotional, devotional love of my own heart and ability, but I could love her with Christ's love. And there is a love. Say it with me. There is a love. See, people don't understand that this actually exists. The Holy Spirit's able to manifest it to us and through us. There is a love. Say it with me again. There is a love. That covers a multitude of sins. When you love like God loves, you don't just look at what's wrong. You look past the things that you could criticize and past the things that you could use an excuse to break up over. You look past all of that and you hang in and you hang on. Amen? There is a love. Say it with me. There is a love that covers a multitude of sins. Literally false. Failures. Everybody say faults and failures. We all have them. We all have them. But there is a love that covers the faults and the failures. I would never try to present myself as perfect to my wife. She knows better. God knows better. There's no need trying to fool God or her or myself. But if she loves me with that kind of love, amen, our marriage is going to endure. We've made it 46 years, but we don't take it for granted. Can you say amen? I've seen things happen after 40 years, 45 years of marriage. Amen. I've seen things happen in marriages. Listen, God said, "I am committing myself. If there's a breach in this, it'll be on your part, but it will not be on my part." Amen. You're not going to be called unmarried anymore. Amen. Because you have been taken away captive. I'm going to bring you back. I'm committed to you. Amen. If you return to me, how are you going to find God? No matter how far you've drifted or what you've done. If you return to me, listen, I will return to you. Can you say amen? Listen, when we commit, when God commits himself, he commits himself totally. Amen. And that's what he's done by covenant. That's the kind of love that he's loved us with. It's a covenant love. And it's a total commitment of himself. A commitment that is so deep, Jesus would hang on that cross by his own volition. It's hard to hang on a cross when all the people that should be encouraging you and standing by you and standing with you have forsaken you and took off running. Yeah. Only two people didn't, with his mama and that other Mary. That Mary that everybody else had cast aside as a woman of such ill reproach, and yet there she was at the foot of the cross. Amen. Putting herself in harm's way. It didn't matter. And Jesus loved enough to hang on that cross for Peter, who denied him. For Pilate, who copped out and knew that an innocent man was going to be crucified and went ahead and capitulated to the will of the people. Jesus hung there for the high priest. He hung there for the very people that were chiding him and say, if you're really the Son of God, come down. Look at you now. If you're so great, save yourself. He looks up, and one of the things he said is so astonishing in that kind of pain and agony while people are chiding him and hurling slurs at him and hurting him and taking sick pleasure in his pain. He lifts his eyes to heaven and says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. They don't get it. They don't grasp what they're really doing here today. Father, forgive them. That's love like the world has never known. Can you say, Matt? And that's how God loves you. And that's why Paul said, if he loved us that much, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? Can you say, Matt? So it's just not faith in the holiness, the perfection of the Scripture. We got word churches that just focus on the Word. The Word focuses on him. Oh, you didn't hear me. Amen. This is a Jesus book. Amen. This is a Jesus book. This is a Jesus book. Amen. There's a scarlet thread that starts running in the book of Genesis, and it does not stop until the last book, the book of Revelation. Man has fallen. Man has sinned. Man is naked, and man is ashamed. Amen. And what happens? An animal has to be slain. The first death and the first shedding of blood was so a naked man, naked because of his sin and rebellion and shame, could be covered in the presence of his God. Blood was shed so a covering could be given. Well, what's that representative of? Amen. Amen. Listen, if you're going to heaven, you're not going because you've woven for yourself a robe that is so perfect and so white and so righteous. You're going to need a wedding garment. Can you say amen? And the provider of that garment, and that garment's called the robe of righteousness. Can you say amen? Everybody say the robe of righteousness. And it's only obtained one way, and that's by faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Everybody say faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Say it with me again. Faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Can you say amen? I'm going to heaven because I've got faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Hallelujah. How many in here have that such faith? Amen. God loves you. Literally, one translation says, never again will you be called the forsaken city or desolate land. Your new name will be the city of God's delight, the bride of God, for he delights in you. The parable of the 10 virgins in the New Testament, Matthew 25, is the story of a bridegroom coming for a bride. Those redeemed by the blood of Christ in the New Testament can truly be called, or are truly called, the bride of Christ. Say it with them, the bride of Christ. And they said, behold, the bridegroom come. What happened? They were loving him back, anticipating his coming. Said, go you out to meet him. Their lamps were trimmed and burning. They were filled with oil. They lived in the holy anticipation every minute of their life, not just because of understanding the prophecies that he's coming, but loving him. Yeah. It wasn't just the, he's coming soon, he's coming soon. I love him. I want him to return. I anticipate his return. Every day when I wake up, I look for him. And to they that look, the Bible said, he shall appear the second time without sin unto glory. Can you say amen? That means This coming is not to judge the world and to judge the sins of the world. It's coming, amen, a coming to take his bride home with him. Hallelujah. Listen to 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Wow. Isn't it amazing? We who have... Every time it speaks of worldliness in the New Testament, it uses a term, particularly in the book of James, as committing spiritual adultery, because God sees this not just as a legal covenant, but a heart commitment. He sees it as a betrothal. He sees it as a marriage to come. Can you say amen? God isn't talking about, amen, worldliness in the Christian life, amen, as just breaching some law, but breaking a covenant. Two hearts are supposed to be united. If a man love me, what will happen? If a man love me, and they will be so grievous, he'll look like some of those pictures of the Puritans. One thing the Puritans lacked, and that was the joy of Jesus' presence. Because you see this guy standing there, and he's got this long face. Someone said that the lady had on a long dress with long sleeves and a long face to match. It's the long face while serving God that breaks with the covenant intent. Amen. Serve the Lord with what, all you lands? Serve the Lord with gladness, all you lands. When I left my, my other job, they had this, they stopped production, which they never do. When you're working 6 and 7 days a week and you're day behind, about to lose contracts, last thing you do is go to, you know what happens in a minute? There's 4 machines spinning and 90 gallons spin off of that machine per minute. 90 gallons. So you start doing the math. If you go down for almost an hour to honor me leaving, shut them machines down, let that plant go down, then it takes time to bring them back up after we eat the cake and stuff. Amen. And my last day, they shut the plant down. They have never shut the plant down for God, for Sunday. They're not going to shut it down for Memorial Day. They're not going to shut it down for the 4th of July, because they don't see gallons. When they see those things going like that, they see dollars. Can you say amen? Amen? And when they shut that thing down, I thought, my Lord, they're shutting this thing down just to honor me. And I didn't think, they hardly knew I existed. I'm there, I was there for 12 years. I missed 4 days in 12 years, and 2 times for my son in the hospital, and 2 times because I had broken or fractured bones. And I went to work all wrapped up, amen, with taking pain pills and praying for grace, and went ahead and did my job. But they didn't care. These people didn't even know that. These new people didn't know any sacrifices I made, but something had touched them. Well, I can't help but believe that it was the joy of the Lord that is in my life. Amen? Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is infectious. They know that I'm a Christian, but I'm not the kind of Christian they're used to. Amen? Because they're used to the kind of Christian that seem like going to church makes them feel bad. Serving God is tough. Being not accepted and embraced by the society is so terrible. Honey, the society isn't doing all that well. 7 of I called them the richest men in the world. I wish I'd brought their names and circumstances. In the last several months, in less than a year, 6 or 7 multimillionaires have killed themselves because they were so identified with their money and their riches that not having that means it left such an empty hole in them they couldn't bear life without that kind of wealth. So the wealth gospel today that promises to fulfill you beyond your wildest dreams, amen, is not the gospel of Jesus Christ, having food and raiment and walking in this love and enjoying this presence that so fulfills the deepest longings of your soul, amen, is the greatest wealth in all of the world. Amen? Amen? If you don't have happiness in your heart, you can't purchase it on the marketplace at any price. If you don't have peace reigning in your heart, you can't buy it. Bill Gates has $58 billion, but he can't buy peace. I've got peace from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm richer than Bill. Wow. Hollywood stars go from one partner and relationship to another. I have a lasting relationship, a loving relationship, a fulfilling relationship. I'm not just staying with that woman because I'm a Christian and God will get me if I don't. I'm staying with her because I love her. And the Bible said to live joyfully with the wife of thy youth. That don't mean when you get older to lose that. It means to remember what was between you when you married and continue that relationship. Praise God. God loves you today. He loves you enough to help you. He loves you enough to deliver you. Paul said if you want your faith to grow so you can stand on the word, receive the promises, don't just get it on the promise, but get it on the person. And his great love for you. The Bible speaks of the great love wherewith God loved us. Amen. Everybody say the great love. See, I've been trying to get people to return to the first love. And I have made the staggering, astonishing discovery that many people never developed the first love to begin with. We didn't love him because he loved us. We served him from some ulterior motive, some ulterior reason. And God wants you to serve him for one reason. Because you love him. First commandment's all about love. Amen. Thou shalt love the Lord. But you can't love the Lord because it's mandated. You can't love the Lord because it's commanded. Pamela can't command me to love her. But she can absolutely love me into loving her. And God wants to love us into loving him. When Pamela didn't complain about the outhouse. When Pamela didn't complain about the meatless meal. And we're not vegans. We are carnivores. And anybody got a problem with that? All things are to be received when sanctified by the word and prayer.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm a carnivore. Back when I used to really eat, I don't eat like I used to eat. But when I used to really eat, I wanted, when we had steak, I didn't care if the thing, if you had to gnaw it like a dog gnawing a bone. I didn't care if it was tender or not. Just give me a lot of it. I was the meat man. You ought to see me eat, man. It was incredible. I wanted one plate for the meat. I wanted my steak to cover the plate. I didn't want to see no plate. You say, well, where are you going to put your baked potato? Get another plate for that. Where are you going to put your corn? Get another plate. Where are you going to put your salad? On another plate. But don't mess with my meat plate. I want a piece of meat that covers that plate. I don't want to see no plate. I want to see meat. Everybody say meat. I was a meat man. Amen. We didn't have any meat. Amen. But we had love for one another. And I sit there eating potatoes thinking about meat. Amen. And I sit there eating green beans thinking about meat. I sit there eating green onions thinking about meat. Amen. But after a while, amen, I was just thinking about Pamela. And I thought just to be here with her, it's okay to be a vegan. Amen. I'll be a vegetarian if I can be with the woman that I love and want to spend my life with. It just didn't matter. And when people get kind of silly in love with the Lord, it doesn't matter. The world doesn't matter. And the devil comes and says, listen, if you'll compromise your faith, look what I have to offer you. And we look back at him and say, you can't offer me anything because I have everything in Jesus. I'm drinking from that living water. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't have to toke up, shoot up, drink up. I've been there. I've done that. I didn't inject it, but I got enough sin, amen, to know what sin is all about. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been there. I've done that. This is better. This is not just better. This is far better. Can you say amen? My high is a natural high, praise God. A healthy high, praise God. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. I can't imagine living without the Lord. I love serving the Lord. When I got ready for church this morning, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Because he inhabits the praises of his people. And I knew when I started giving him glory and honor, I would begin to sense his presence. And in his presence, there's fullness of joy. And when you got fullness of joy, you don't have to go out looking through sin for something. Can you say amen to fulfill you? Wow. Now listen to this as we hurry and try to close. Hosea 2:19 and Hosea 2:20. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. And I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness that thou shalt know the Lord. Hallelujah. God speaking to a covenant people. I will betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. This is the intimate part of this. Thou shalt know the Lord. Thou shalt know the Lord. That word know in the sexual sense was used for when a marriage was consummated, when a man knew his wife, when a wife knew her husband. There's intimacy here, but it's spiritual intimacy. And God said, I want intimacy. The average Christian on Sunday, all they know about is church and choirs and singing and quartets and all the activities. They don't know a walk with God that is so fulfilling and so satisfying that they enjoy serving Him. They willingly, joyfully take up their cross in order to follow Him because they love Him so deeply. Can you say amen? If you haven't fallen in love with the Lord, I'm going to start talking this lug language and it's going to just leave you out. The only thing you will understand is grabbing this that you need, getting God to meet that need. Just getting God to meet a need is secondary. God wants to meet our needs, but He wants a love relationship. He wants intimacy. We had a man come last Sunday night, talked about intimacy with God, came from a church that he'd been to that morning, and he sat in that service, and his pastor, Pastor Tom, as he called him, pastor of an Assembly of God church, I think it was, amen. You know what he taught Sunday morning? Intimacy with God. And he said it was so wonderful to come in here tonight and hear intimacy with God. It must be something the Spirit is wanting to get across to the church, because the church is not necessarily provoking or promoting intimacy with God. We're getting people, telling people what God will do for them, but not developing in people a real love, an ardent love for the Lord. Amen. The Bible said we should be fervent in spirit serving the Lord. Everybody say passionate. The word fervent, say it with me, fervent in spirit. Amen. I like what the little girl said about flaming desserts. Said the reason they bring them desserts that are on fire, said, because their hearts are on fire. Pretty good. I thought that was a neat insight. Amen. Everybody say passion. Passion. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Passionate heart. Passionate people are infectious. Other people feel it. They're passionate about it. Some people are passionate about politics. Some people are passionate about fishing. I see them all over Plant City. Bumper stickers on trucks pulling boats. Women love me. Fish fear me. Some people are passionate about music. Some people are passionate about yard sales. Some people are dispassionate about life. They have no passion in their heart. And what an empty life when you rob it of passion. These Christians were passionately in love with Jesus because He was passionately in love with them. What do they call the depiction of the crucifixion that every year in Germany in this huge auditorium? And they used to do it at Lake Wales. I don't know if they do it anymore. They call it the Passion Play. Because what's it about? It's about God loving us enough to hang on a cross in our place. That's passionate love. That's not some kind of impassionate, impartial love. That's a direct, distinct, intimate, passionate love for you. So God always frames His relationship with ancient Israel and with the New Testament church in passionate terms. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and him with me. I'm knocking at the door. I'm calling your name. Listen, God wants to send revival far more than we desire revival. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let me finish with this. Ruth chapter 3. I'm just going to tell you what happened in Ruth 3, 8 and 9. Ruth went to Boaz to receive his blessing that he would help her out of her difficult situation. She went to the threshing floor, slept at his feet. So when he woke up in the morning, she would be right there at his feet. I'm just going to read this from one of the translations. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me." since you are a kinsman redeemer. Nothing sexual going on here. Nothing sensual about it. This woman said, my husband is dead. My mother-in-law husband is dead. She's a Jew, Jewish. I am a Gentile woman married by a Jewish man. I have no covering, but you're the nearest kinsman through my mother-in-law. You're my kinsman redeemer. I have a tie to you, and I need a covering. We're in this world by ourselves to fend for ourselves. He'd already begun to love her because when he saw her and her mother-in-law coming to get what was left from the wheat that was being harvested, he told his servant, said, go out before them and take handfuls of wheat and drop it in their path so they can still maintain their dignity, their respect. I love what we did here at church one time. Amen. We had a no-sale yard sale so people could get the help they needed and maintain their dignity and respect. Amen. So they would come and they would see things they wanted and there was no prices on them. They'd bring it up to the table and say, how much for these shoes for my child? How much? Say, nothing. That's called a no-sale yard sale. How much for this pair of slacks? How much for this coat? Absolutely nothing. That was so creative and innovative and so right for Christians to do. Amen? What was this woman looking for? He loved her already. She said, if he will make a commitment to me to take me under his wing. Everybody say under his wing. Do you know what the bottom, the fringe of the garment was called? That a man wore and a priest wore. You know what the bottom was called? It's called the wings. The wings. The wings. There were tassels. Got a bedspread. Beautiful bedspread. Got it on sale. One of those 50% off and 70% off of that and 15% if you use the card. That's probably they owed us money. You think if we... Anyway, glad Mike's not here to do the math. I hope he gets better, but if he did the math, I'd get an F. But anyway, it's one of those things where you get for almost nothing, but it was one of these super things you wouldn't buy otherwise. And it has these tassels hanging down. And I got this dog that's still got puppy in him. Every day, there's tassels missing. I don't know where, I don't know if he eats them. I don't know what, but now it's my spread. It's a very feminine, beautiful spread, but it's in the room that I go into, you know, for to make my broadcast in and all of that, because it's now, you know, look like a snaggletooth thing because all the tassels are gone. But the fringe of the garment had tassels. And this lady knew, because she knew the Jewish custom of that ancient time. We need to get in touch with that. She knew if this man, if I ask him to cover me with the bottom of his robe, to put it over my head and cover me, what I'm asking for, amen, is him to take me under his watch care, to make a commitment to me, to care for me. Amen. Literally, he married that lady. Amen. He took her under his wings, literally. But figuratively, it began with taking the garment and covering her. And she said, spread the corner of your garment over me since you are a kinsman redeemer. Now listen to this carefully. I went to a Jewish rabbi's webpage and read his remarks on this portion of scripture. When a man spreads his garment over a woman, the symbolism is that this man and this woman are now wearing the same garment, the same cloak, and face the world under the same cover. Ruth was prepared to cloak herself in the garments of the sage of Israel with everything that it entailed. If he will spread his garment over me, I'm set for life. Amen? He will take me under his, what's the border of the garment called? Under his wings. Listen to this. She asked that Boaz spread his wing over her, meaning his outer four-fringed garment. And this Jewish rabbi said, we still do it under traditional Jewish wedding ceremonies that go back and touch the ancient. Can you imagine taking a garment, spreading it over this woman? Now, hang on. Are you still with me? The woman with the issue of blood, what did she say? If I can touch, but what? If I can do what? Did you think it was just he's so anointed? See, we're so used to seeing the anointing on the person instead of God's desire to cover us out of love. Come on. Amen. Listen, what is the analogy of the wings of the chicken and the chicks? Is that this is an anointed chicken. Super chicken is here. Come on, bring it on. I'm going to defend these. Come on. Super chicken. Was there a cartoon Super Chicken? There was a super dog, underdog, underdog. There's a flying dog that's a super dog. There's a super everything. There had to be a super chicken somewhere. There was a super chicken. Chicken Little, well, no, there was an actual, because I remember his cry. I can't even cackle this morning. There was a super chicken, I'm telling you. Amen, I'll find out about that. Wasn't there a super chicken? Do you remember a super chicken? You remember, there was a cackle. There was a super chicken, amen. We see the anointing. We don't see the love of God. We don't understand. We don't fathom it. We see, listen, a mother hen is taking her chicks under her wings to do what? To cover them and love them. Yes. True story told by a forest ranger of how a little log cabin with a little bitty farm-like place. Just had a few animals out there in the middle of the forest. And the forest fire swept through with such force, the man had to run and leave his animals and everything and flee for his life as the winds just took that forest fire so fast, tree to tree, and then the wind picked up and drove it. He had to get in his pickup and run for his life. And when he came back with one of the forest rangers, there was the charred remains of a mother hen spread out like this on the ground, literally blackened by the fire that swept over that mother hen. And they heard something rustling underneath the spread wings of that mother hen, and they flipped that dead mama over. And you know what was underneath? There were six little bitties under her. And she had laid down her life and covered so she could cover them. I don't want you to see touching the hem of Jesus' garment as him having such an anointing. Because see, anointings flowing to you don't make you love the person. It just allows you to receive from the anointing. God wants you to do more than receive his touch. He wants you to understand his heart. He wants you to see his wings differently. He wants you to love him back for loving you so passionately and so much. If I can but what? Touch the hem of his garment? That's because he's such an anointed man. Zoom, it's going to flow out. No, he's such a loving, compassionate, amen, man. If I get his covering over me, if I can just spread his garment over me, I know I'll be healed. Anything else I need is coming with it. I need a covering of the Spirit of God. And if I can grab the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. Because she understood what it meant for a man to cover you. And this man was like no other man. Never a man spake like this man. If he covers me, what the physicians couldn't do, what nobody else could do, is going to happen to me. If he covers me. Are you still with me? You want to finish this sermon? We're so accustomed. There's no intimacy in just receiving the laying on of hands. It don't make you love God more to have power flow to you. No. 10 lepers got healed by Jesus because he said, go thy way, you're healed. And only one came back. 9 of them were untouched by his compassionate heart. This woman was looking for more than power to flow from him. She knew love was flowing from him. And if I can get him to cover me, if I can grab the hem of his garment, if I can grab the back part of it right here where that tassel is hanging and put it over my head. And when she put her head under that garment, amen, for a covering because of the love of God that was flowing out of him. He was known for the love that when he saw the sick coming from every quarter, he was moved with compassion and he healed their sick. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. She knew that about him. She said, this man won't turn me away. This man has the power to do it. But for that power to flow, he has to love me enough to cover me, and he will. And immediately virtue went out of him. Because faith worked by love. Everybody say faith worked by love. Everybody say it again. Faith worked by love. Wow. The woman with the issue of blood in the New Testament said, if I can but touch the hem, everybody say the wing of his garment, I shall be healed. She exhibited faith that Jesus would indeed, was indeed the promised Messiah and sought healing under his wings or his covering. She wasn't the only one that knew that. It's known among all the Jewish people of that day. Listen to Mark 6 and verse 56. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him. In what way? In what way? The border of his garment. Were they touching his flesh? No, they were touching the border of his garment. Why were they doing that? Because when a man puts his garment over, he's taking you under his wings. Can you say amen? There's love flowing here. We've got so many dispassionate, impassionate formulas for faith that doesn't produce love. And love is the principal thing in all of the Scripture. Can you say amen? Follow after faith, hope, and love, these three. But what is the principal thing, the primary thing? The greatest of these is what? Love. We put faith above love. We got dispassionate Christians trying to stand on the Word and just believe God for the stuff they need for their self-serving, self-seeking heart. And if you tell them God will give it all to them, they'll line up to come and get it. But they lined up to lay down their life for Jesus Christ. They literally love not their lives unto the death in that early church. They were promised persecution if they identified with him. They were promised to be ostracized from their families and society. They were promised that many of them would be put to death. Jesus told them in the book of Revelation, many of you will lay down your life, be faithful unto death, and he'll give you a crown of life. And they did it willingly and gladly. Paul said, I'm ready to be offered up. I love him to that degree. We can't even get people to live for him today, let alone die for him. Amen. People don't want to give up their sins or their flaky friends. People ask me, will I have to give up my ungodly friends if I follow Jesus? I said, no, you follow Jesus and they'll give you up. You'll find out what kind of friends you have. If they don't respect your faith, they don't love you. Right. If they love you, they'll respect your faith even if they don't buy into it. But they respect you for having something. They respect you for being more than just a follower of the crowd. Did you know that a 5-year-old kid can cuss up a storm because he's watched too much television? So it's not manly when you take the Lord's name in vain and when you curse. 10-year-old can be addicted to drugs and cigarettes. 11-year-olds are having illicit sex. None of that proves anything except you can't control yourself. You have no moral compass, and that you don't care what God thinks about as long as you get what you want out of life. And if the getting is so good, why is about one marriage in every two failing, including the Christian community? We used to stand out as different from the world, but we can't stand out anymore. We've embraced the world, we've taken on its values, and now we're reaping its repercussions. We got breakdowns in the pulpit, we got closet homosexuals preaching and trying to lead evangelical movements, and then they're exposed because they don't love God enough to keep his commandments. They know their creed, they know their doctrine, they know their denominational belief system, but they don't know their God enough to be strong enough to overcome the pull of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We need a victory today represented to the body of Jesus Christ. Amen? And we need air conditioning in this room. God is so good today. Because we try to build our faith on promises instead of the person of Christ, it becomes an abstract thing. We become word people instead of the loving, intimate followers of God. We let everything in the world keep us out of church. Literally, in the world, keep us out of God's house. Don't take much when you're not in love with Jesus because you're self-serving. What's in it for me? What's in my best interest today? The paradigm has changed, and that's why that is what has opened the door for the seeker-friendly church. Let's have 1,500 programs in a year. We got to keep people coming. Give them something that will... I mean, dear Lord, we got the world for 6 days. Can't we just give ourselves to God for one? We got the whole world to revel in for 6 days. Can't we give ourselves to God for one? In love and passion. One for God who loves us so much and He gives us His Son. That's why I don't live in Walden Lakes. Because I said if they're going to work me on Sunday to make that extra money, I'm not going. I don't miss it. He's worth it. He fulfills me. I'm happy with what I have. I'm not in a gated community where I live, anything but. But I'm going to live in a gated community forever. God's going to make up for it one of these days. Can you say amen? In fact, there's 12 gates. And they're all carved out of solid pearl. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the unclean are not going to enter, so we don't need a guard at the gate. Can you say amen? Glory to God. And the Lamb is going to be the light of that city. Amen. And when I'm there, He'll be with me. And when I'm here, He'll be with me. Psalm 91 says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust truly. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He will cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. Psalm 37:5, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the sons of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. What we know about your love makes us come to you for covering. Can you say amen? What that woman knew about His love, not just His anointing, but His love. Can you say amen? Not just His power, but His person and His character. Amen. She said, if I can touch the hem of His garment, I know He'll cover me. I know He won't send me away. Amen. That's what Ruth was doing at the foot of Boaz's feet. Amen. If he wakes up and I ask him to cover me, all he has to do is take and put that over me. That means that now he takes responsibility for my life. I trust His love. Hallelujah. You lose that intimacy. We talk about those people of old, the ardent love they had. Pamela talked about two women today. Amen. She was having her morning devotional, and I went in and sat with her just a little while, not to interrupt, but so she could share. Amen. She was telling me about two women that loved God so much, they wouldn't capitulate to those that told her to reject their God and just bow to another king. Amen. And they took an 18-year-old girl and a 70-year-old grandma and drowned them. And they kept asking them to recant their commitment to Christ. And neither one of them would. They dug a hole with the tide out, put them in up to their neck. And as the tide was coming in to drown them, in other words, it wasn't a quick drowning, it was a slow, you could see it coming, you're trying to get another breath while the water's now trickling up to your nose, and they're watching them, and the soldiers really don't want to see them die, and saying, recant, recant. That means give up your faith in Christ and we'll dig you out. You don't have to die like this. But they said, yes, we do have to die like this, because we will never give up our commitment to Jesus Christ. Today we sell Him out for sin. We sell Him out for self-serving reasons. We come to church to see what's in it for us instead of looking to the cross and saying, that's what's in it for me. Now what can I do for Him? Can you say amen? We try to find a church that has enough activities to please our whole family just to keep us coming back. Serve me. Do something for me. Give me some reason to show up. Jesus ought to be the reason that we show up. Somebody give Him praise in this place. Oh, don't give Him a patty cake. Don't do it at all unless you're going to do it with something more than the Sunday morning stuff. The Sunday morning stuff is killing revival. Dispassionate hearts are unconvincing to the gainsaying world. go to church for the cruise, the bus trip to the mountains, the swimming pool party, the barbecue, the bowling team, the golfing together. What is it that brings people out on Sunday morning? I told my wife today, I was so impressed. It was two men from India that came when I was in full-time ministry years ago and full-time again. These two men from India came, and one of them came frequently, but one of them had never come that often, and he asked me to come and preach in India. You know me well enough to know it's got to be a God thing, not just a good thing. I need to know that I'm going to do something for the Lord, not just do something. Amen. And so God didn't give me the green light to go. But here's what I said to him. When he said, we would love you to come and minister in India, we will hold a meeting. God is really moving in my province. And I said, why would you want me to come? I pastor a small church. Many people in this city have never heard of me. No one has heard of me in America nationally. And I'm sure no one in India has heard of me. So why would you want me to come for a meeting? I love what he said. He said, we don't care who the name of the preacher is that comes to preach in our meetings. Because the reason the people come to the meeting is because we exalt Jesus Christ. Everybody say Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
The move of God there is because Jesus is being elevated and Jesus is being loved. And those Christians passionately love Jesus. And if you come and lift up Jesus, they'll come. Not because of your special anointing, special gifts, great eloquence, great reputation, but because you magnify the one that's greater than any. And that's Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Why is it that God is using and blessing our radio broadcast in such a small little church like it? Because it's let's talk about Jesus. Amen. What is our message right now? Amen. Seeing Jesus like you've never seen him before. Can you say, amen, the revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John? The church needs a revelation of Jesus that makes her passionately fall in love with him. When I first got saved, I did get the first love. I knew I didn't deserve salvation. I knew I deserved to be judged. And God in his grace and mercy and compassion saved me. I could not wait for the door to the church to open. I couldn't wait to get into the presence of God. The little things never stopped me. The big things didn't stop me. Why? Because I passionately love the Lord. And my greatest desire after salvation was, what can I do for Christ? Not what Christ can do for me. Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Do you understand that? I don't have to preach. I had no idea he'd call me to preach. I just wanted to serve him. I just wanted to do something for him that had done so much for me. And I still have that attitude right now. Praise God. I'm preaching this morning like I was in a camp meeting. Because I love him and he's worthy. Can you say, man, isn't he worthy? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are so anointing oriented. We need to get oriented toward how much God loves us. Paul said, you want your faith to really grow? Amen. Go to the hem of his garment, not for power to flow first. Primarily go to the hem of his garment for a covering. And let his love cover you. Let his commitment to you. Claim his commitment to you. Amen? And the virtue will flow in that context to you. It wasn't the anointing on Jesus. It was the love of God flowing through Jesus. Can you say amen? If I can touch the hymn. Did she just go boing and power flew? No, she took it. She grabbed it. And she covered. And instead of him pulling away, he stopped dead in his tracks. as she held his garment over her head. Hallelujah. Amen. And virtue just flowed out of him and healed her. Virtue meaning dunamis, power. But before she claimed a claim on that anointing, her faith didn't make a claim on the anointing, but a claim on his character of love and grace and mercy, his compassion. That's why the blind man said, "Son of David, bring that anointing to me and touch me. Son of David, have mercy on me." What was he looking for? That character, that heart. Praise God. Amen. And when people begin to come to Jesus, as many as touched what? What were they looking for? His hand laid on them, their hand touching his body, his flesh. No, they were looking for that that made them one in a Jewish marriage. Can you say amen? If we can just touch what? The border of his garment will be made whole. You've got to know their custom to understand what they were doing. It wasn't like a great evangelist in a great arena. And if you can just touch his hand or he can lay his hand on you. This wasn't about his hand. This is about the border of his garment. This is about his loving kindness. This is about his wings covering you. Can you say amen? Do you see it today? Amen. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the sons of men put their trust under the covert of thy wings. When they didn't do that and the intimacy was lost, woe to them that go down into Egypt and seek a covering, but not of my spirit, saith the Lord. As a husband, it's commonly taught among Christians that I cover my family. Well, what does that? My anointing? No, my love. I'm the head of this home and I cover them with my love. With my love. And God covers us the same way. And if we ever love him back, revival will break forth in this place. Healing will come to you because you touch the hem of his garment. Brother, would you come and put, God is here. God is here. We're going to pray today. And I want everyone who wants to see coming to God to get your needs met differently than just coming in contact with the power. I want you to see getting your needs met primarily as coming in contact with the person. Can you say amen? Will you stand to your feet today? Have you got something out of this Bible study this morning? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Do you want to not only get help today from him, but to fall more deeply in love with him and serve him more perfectly and have a passionate heart for the things of the Lord? Amen. Glory to God. If we all get passionate hearts in this place, we can't help but infect and affect other people with passionate hearts for the things of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I hated to see church end. Amen. I wanted to go on and on and on and on. I wasn't anxious to go anywhere, do anything, because the very best in my life was that represented the presence of God. Amen. The person of Jesus. I loved him. I still love him today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. What a wonderful God that we serve. Amen. If you have... I am here to cover you as I have promised. But you must seek me to cover you. For you can seek all types and all kinds of blessings, healings, deliverances, protections, and provisions without taking the hem of my garment and seeking my covering. Come and let me cover you. And therein let me keep not only your body, your life, but let me keep your heart as well, saith the Lord. You can get hands laid on you and get healed today through the anointing, and yet your heart cannot be burning and brimming with the first love. You can be like the 10 lepers that got what they wanted from Jesus, went their way, and 9 of them didn't even come back to tip their head or say thanks, but one bowed and worshiped him and called him Lord. That's why he wants to do more than just help you. He wants to captivate your mind and capture your heart. He wants you to love him back. He wants intimacy with his church again. He doesn't want to be on the outside of the door while we subsidize what he did at the cross with all manner of activities to try to draw people in, because we know if we just present the cross, it is not enough. It is not enough. Where's the fun in that? Where's something to do? Something. What's entertaining about that? Honey, I am so captivated when I hear the cross preached. There's nothing the church can offer me greater than Jesus and him crucified, because I love him. How many know that you focus on what you love? You seek what you love. You're fulfilled by receiving that you love. Can you say amen? How many people in this room want to come to the Lord differently than you've ever approached him? You want to come for a covering today. How many people with any need in your life will just stand? I'm not even going to lay hands this morning, but you're just coming for his covering. Any needs at all, you're just coming. Spiritual, physical, mental, whatever it is, financial, material, whatever it is that you want to be covered, you're coming for a covering. Would you just come and stand? You're coming for a covering today. Amen. Why were they touching the hem of his garment? You know, until I read further, I thought this woman was the only woman that came that way. She wasn't. Amen. They understood. They got it. They said, we're getting more here than just the anointing, the overflow of someone's anointing. We're being covered by God's wings. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And this is not just going to address this one immediate need in our life. This is going to cover the whole of our life for the whole of our lifetime. Praise God. There's healing under his wings. There's deliverance under his wings. Amen. There's help under his wings. There's salvation under his wings. Praise God. But they're all under his covering. Praise God. Amen. The day of God vesting and investing all of the power to help his people in an evangelist woman or lady or man are over. Those people, many of them couldn't stand being on the pedestal, and pride entered in like it did the king that God called and anointed called Saul, and they fell. God wants to address his church in an intimate, personal way. He wants to bypass the preachers and get personal with his people. He wants us to present him. He wants you to embrace him. Can you say amen? He told me one time when I was so wore out praying for people, I actually burned myself out. Amen. And listen to what he told me. He said something he told another preacher, and he just confirmed it to me. He wasn't the first preacher ever told it to me. He said, give yourself to me and give me to the people. Can you say amen? You'll never burn out again. Give yourself to me, son, and give me to the people, and you will never burn. I can't take his place in your life. I can't do for you what he can do, but I can present him to you. And if you will embrace him and let him cover you, there's healing under the covert of his wings. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's deliverance under the covert of his wings. And God is here right now. And you've approached him differently today than you've been approaching him. If he materialized right now, Jesus with his royal robe, I believe all of you standing here, including me, I would fall at his feet. The first thing I would do is kiss his nail-scarred feet and adore him. Amen. If my hair was long enough, I'd wash his feet with my tears of joy and wipe them dry with my hair. Amen. That's what that woman did. Amen. Come on, this was intimacy. Can you say amen? But you know what the second thing I'd do? I'd grab his garment. I'd pull it over my head. And in so doing, I'd say, Lord, I'm putting my trust under the covert of your wings. Everything I need, all the provision, all the protection, everything in my life, you are my source for it all. Cover me, my Savior, my Sovereign, my Lord, and my love. Can you say amen, my Adonai? I want you to just say it with me today for every need of your life. Jesus, cover me. All healing is flowing under the covert of His wings. Jesus, cover me. He's here right now. And I believe spiritually we can take the hem of His garment and hold it over our heads. How many will do that right now? Right now. If I can but touch what? Well, He's here. If I can but touch what? The hem of His garment, the wings of His garment, that tassel hanging on the back of His garment. If I can grab it, pull that garment up. Hallelujah. I know I'm going to be healed because I'm under His covering. I'm under His covering. I'm under His... Oh, somebody give Him praise. I don't care if the sweat rolls off of me. I want to see this thing done. I want to see a healing revival under the covering of His wings. So not only are we healed, but our hearts become passionately committed to Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Is it all right to get our needs met and in the process fall more deeply in love with Him? Praise God. God is here. Let's give Him praise in this place.